Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 We're going to cover text 44 and 45 from chapter 15, canto 3. Get that up on your screen. 44 has no purport, so we'll chant together text 45. Pung sam gatim rigayatam iha yoga margair.
Pung sam gatim rigayatam iha yoga margair.
Dhyanas padam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Dhyanas padam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Pamsnam vapur darshayanam ananya siddhair. Utpatikai samagranan yutam ashtabogai. Pum sam gatim ragayatam iha yoga margair.
Pum sam gatim ragayatam iha yoga margair.
Dhyanas padam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Dhyanas padam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Paums nam vapur darshayanam ananya siddhair. Utpatikai samagranan yutam ashtabogai.
Utpatikai samagranan yutam ashtabogai.
Pum sam,
pum sam
of those persons,
of those persons.
Gatim,
gatim
liberation,
liberation.
Rigayatam,
rigayatam
who are searching,
who are
searching.
Iha
here in this world, yoga margai,
by the
process of Ashtanga Yoga,
Dhyana
Aspadam,
object of meditation,
Baho,
by the great yogis,
Matam,
approved,
Nayana,
eyes,
Abhiramam,
pleasing.
Palms num, human.
Vapuhu,
form.
Darshayanam,
displaying.
Ananya,
not by others.
Siddhai,
perfected.
Utpatikai,
eternally present.
Samagranan,
praised.
Yutam,
the personality, supreme personality of Godhead who is endowed.
Ashtabogai,
with eight kinds of achievement. So I'm going to read 44 and then the translation for 45 and purport. The Lord's beautiful face appeared to them like the inside of a blue lotus. And the Lord's smile appeared to be a blossoming jasmine flower. After seeing the face of the Lord, the sages were fully satisfied, and when they wanted to see him further, they looked upon the nails of his lotus feet, which resembled rubies. Thus they viewed the Lord's transcendental body again and again, and so they finally achieved meditation on the Lord's personal feature. And then 45. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon. The followers of the yoga process, and it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary, but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full of 8 kinds of achievement. But for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. The success of the yoga process is very nicely described here. It is specifically mentioned that the form of the Lord as four-headed Narayan is the object of meditation for the followers of Yoga Marga. Marga means path. Right? In the modern age, there are so many so-called yogis who do not target their meditation in the form-handed Narayana form. Some of them try to meditate on something impersonal or void, but that is not approved by the great yogis who follow the standard method. The real Yoga Marga process is to control the senses, sit in a solitary and sanctified place, and meditate on the four-handed form of Narayana, decorated as described in this chapter, as he appeared before the four sages. This Narayana form is Krishna's expansion, semicolon. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement, which is now spreading, is the real topmost process of yoga practice. Paragraph. Krishna consciousness is the highest yoga performance by trained devotional yogis. Despite all the allurement of yoga practice, the 8 kinds of yogic perfections are hardly achievable by the common man. But here is described that the Lord, who appeared before the four sages, is himself full in all 8 of those perfections. The highest yoga marg process is to concentrate the mind 24 hours a day on Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. The yoga system, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, or as recommended in the Patanjali yoga process, is different from the nowadays practiced Hatha yoga as it is generally understood in the Western countries. Real yoga practice is to control the senses, and after such control is established, to concentrate the mind on the Narayana form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Same paragraph. Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead in all other Vishnu forms, with 4 hands decorated with conch, lotus, club, and wheel, are plenary expansions of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that one meditate upon the form of the Lord. To practice concentration of the mind, one has to sit with the head and the back in a straight line, and one must practice in a secluded place sanctified by a sacred atmosphere. The yogi should observe the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, that is, to strictly live a life of self-restraint and celibacy. One cannot practice yoga in a congested city, living a life of extravagancy, including unrestricted sex indulgence and adultery of the tongue. Yoga practice necessitates controlling the senses, and the beginning of sense control is to control the tongue. One who can control the tongue can also have control over the other senses. One cannot allow the tongue to take any kinds of forbidden food or drink, and at the same time advance in the practice of yoga. It is a very regrettable fact that many unauthorized so-called yogis come to the Western countries and exploit people's inclination towards yoga practice. Such unauthorized yogis even dare to say publicly that one can indulge in the habit of drinking and at the same time practice meditation. Paragraph. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended yoga practice to Arjuna, but Arjuna frankly expressed his inability to follow the stringent rules and regulations of the yoga system. One should be very practical. in every field of activities and should not waste his valuable time in practicing useless gymnastic feats in the name of yoga. Real yoga is to search out the four-handed super soul within one's heart and see him perpetually in meditation. Such continued meditation is called samadhi. And the object of this meditation is the four-handed Narayana with bodily decorations as described in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. If, however, one wants to meditate on something void or impersonal, it will take a very long time before he achieves success in yoga practice. We cannot concentrate our mind on something void or impersonal. Real yoga is to fix the mind on the form of the Lord, the four-headed Narayana, who is sitting in everyone's heart. By meditation, one can understand that God is seated within one's heart. Even if one does not know it, God is seated within the heart of everyone. Not only is he seated in the heart of the human being, but he is also within the hearts of cats and dogs. Bhagavad Gita certifies this fact by the declaration of the Lord, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayeshe. The Ishvara, the supreme controller of the world, is seated in the heart of everyone. Not only is he in everyone's heart, but he is also present within the atom. No place is vacant or devoid of the presence of the Lord. That is the statement of Ishopanishad. God is present everywhere, and his right of proprietorship applies to everything. The feature of the Lord by which he is present everywhere is called Paramatma. Atma means the individual soul, and Paramatma means the individual super soul. Both Atma and Paramatma are individual persons. The difference between Atma and Paramatma is that the Atma, or the soul, is present only in a particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present everywhere. In this connection, the example of the sun is very nice. An individual person may be situated in one place, but the sun, even though a similar individual entity is present on the head of every individual person. In Bhagavad Gita, this is explained. Therefore, even the qualities of all entities, including the Lord, are equal. The super soul is different from the individual soul by quantitative power of expansion. The Lord or the super soul can expand himself into millions of different forms, whereas the individual soul cannot do so. Paragraph. The super soul, being situated in everyone's heart, can witness everyone's activities, past, present, and future. In the Upanishads, the super soul is described as being seated with the individual soul as friend and witness, as a friend. The Lord is always anxious to get back his friend, the individual soul, and bring him back home, back to Godhead. As a witness, he is the bestower of all benedictions, and he endows each individual with the results of his actions. The super soul gives the individual soul all facilities to achieve whatever he desires to enjoy in this material world. Suffering is a reaction to the living entity's propensity to try to lord it over the material world. But the Lord instructs his friend, the individual soul, who is also his son, to give up all other engagements and simply surrender unto him for perpetual bliss and an eternal life full of knowledge. This is the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita, the most authorized and widely read book on all varieties of yoga. Thus, the last word of Bhagavad Gita is the last word in the perfection of yoga. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that a person who is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness is the topmost yogi. What is Krishna consciousness? as the individual soul is present by his consciousness throughout his entire body. So the Supersoul of Paramatma is present throughout the whole creation by super consciousness. This super consciousness energy is imitated by the individual soul who has limited consciousness. I can understand what is going on within my limited body, but I cannot feel what is going on in another's body. I am present throughout my body by my consciousness, but my consciousness is not present in another's body. The Supersoul, or Paramatma, however, being present everywhere and within everyone, is also conscious of everyone's existence. The theory that the soul and the Supersoul are one is not acceptable, because it is not confirmed by authoritative Vedic literature. The individual soul's consciousness cannot act in superconsciousness. This superconsciousness can be achieved, however, by dovetailing individual consciousness with the consciousness of the Supreme. This dovetailing process is called surrender, or Krishna consciousness. From the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, we learn very clearly that Arjuna in the beginning did not want to fight with his brothers and relatives, but after understanding Bhagavad Gita, he dovetailed his consciousness with the super consciousness of Krishna. He was then in Krishna consciousness. Paragraph. A person in full Krishna consciousness acts by the dictation of Krishna. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, dictation is received through the transparent medium of the spiritual master. When one is sufficiently trained and acts in submissive faith and love for Krishna under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, the dovetailing process becomes more firm and accurate. This stage of devotional service by the devotee in Krishna consciousness is the most perfect stage of the yoga system. At this stage, Krishna, or the Supersoul, dictates from within, while from without, the devotee is helped by the spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of Krishna. From within, he helps the devotee as Chaitya, for he is seated within the heart of everyone. Understanding that God is seated within everyone's heart is not, however, sufficient. One has to be acquainted with God from both within and without, and one must take dictation from within and without to act in Krishna consciousness. This is the highest perfectional stage of the human form of life and the topmost perfection of all yoga. For a perfect yogi, there are 8 kinds of super achievements. One word. One can become lighter than air. One can become smaller than the atom. One can become bigger than a mountain. And one can achieve whatever he desires. One can control like the Lord and so on. But when one rises to the perfectional stage of receiving dictation from the Lord, that is greater than any stage of material achievements above mentioned. The breathing exercise of the yoga system, which is generally practiced, is just the beginning. Meditation on the Supersoul is just another step forward. But to obtain direct contact with the Supersoul and take dictation from him is the highest perfectional stage. The breathing exercises of meditation practice were difficult even 5,000 years ago. Otherwise, Arjuna would not have rejected the proposal of Krishna that he adopt this system. This age of Kali is called the fallen age. In this age, people in general are short-living, very slow to understand spiritualization or spiritual life. They're mostly unfortunate. Therefore, if someone is a little bit interested in self-realization, he is likely to be misguided by so many frauds. The only way to realize the perfect stage of yoga is to follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita as practiced by Lord Chaitanya. This is the simplest and highest perfection of yoga practice. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated this Krishna consciousness yoga system in a practical manner, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna as prescribed in the Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and many other important Puranas. One more page. The largest number of Indians follow this process, and in the United States it is gradually spreading in many cities. It is very easy and practical for this age, especially for those who are serious about success in yoga. No other process of yoga can be successful in this age. The meditation process was possible in the Golden Age, Satya Yuga, because people in that age used to live for hundreds of thousands of years. If one wants success in practical yoga practice, it is advised that he take to the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and he will actually feel himself making progress. In Bhagavad Gita, this practice of Krishna consciousness is prescribed as Raja Vidya, or the king of all erudition. Erudition means scholarship or learning. You know stuff. That's erudition. The king of erudition. Final paragraph. Those who have taken to this most sublime bhakti yoga system, who practice devotional service and transcend the love of Krishna, can testify to its happy and easy execution. The four sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, also became attracted by the features of the Lord, and they described and the transcendental aroma of the dust of his lotus feet, as already described in verse 43. One more paragraph. Yoga necessitates controlling the senses, and bhakti yoga, or Krishna consciousness, is the process of purifying the senses. When the senses are purified, they're automatically controlled. One cannot stop the activities of the senses by artificial means, but if one purifies the senses by engaging in the service of the Lord, the senses not only can be controlled from rubbish engagement, but can be engaged in the Lord's transcendental service as aspired to by the four sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar. Krishna consciousness is not, therefore, a manufactured concoction of the speculative mind. It is the process enjoined in Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Krishna Krishna. So a few things, because it's a long purport, many things that can be spoken, but it's already been spoken, so in detail. Yesterday, text 43, little correction from yesterday. The Lord had already manifested himself before the four sages, so they were already seeing his form. And I kind of got, you know, ahead of myself with the narration, the sequence, the chronology. So they had seen the form, and they were smelling the fragrance of his feet and the tulsi from his feet. And that brought about transformation of mind and body. So the reason for mentioning this, besides a correction detail, there's this discussion sometimes. Did Jai and Vijay do the right thing, or did Jai and Vijay do the wrong thing? Because their service is to permit qualified and prevent unqualified people, that's what gatekeepers do, from entering Vaikuntha. So did they do the right, did they make a mistake, or did they do the right thing? Were the four Kumaras bhaktas? Because that's an eligibility. Chuta bhaktas. And so one can say, one can make an argument on both sides. They made a mistake. They didn't make a mistake. When the Lord comes and he speaks, they made a mistake, but it's actually my mistake, and so I'll take the responsibility for their mistake. And the Kumaras say, no, no, they didn't make a mistake. They did the right thing. We got carried away and cursed them. So please forgive us. So there's arguments on both sides. And the resolution of those two sides is, it's Leela. So one needs contact with Supreme Lord through the mercy of his devotee. We had this discussion yesterday. Which devotee? Was it this one, that one? So that kind of stimulation of ecstatic love is required. The eligibility was the Lord's plan, ultimately. So whether and the agency of the Lord's plan is through his devotee, so that's just a little correction of detail. As I was reading this long, very detailed, important purport, I was thinking of three things. Our book distributors, the monthly Sankirtan festival people that go out and distribute books, have reported to me regularly the Western people they meet ask a question. Do you have a process of meditation? Do you have a way that we can learn more about meditation? Hint, there's a wave that's rising. Not a tidal wave yet, but it's a wave that's rising, a wave of interest. So I brought this to the attention of some devotees, and there's been some effort to create curriculum for meditation training and education, and it's good to utilize that curriculum because there are people that are interested. And you know, the negative side is if we don't, they're going to find something else because there's an interest, and that something else is what Prabhupada is describing here, the something else. And it's abundant. Second thing I was thinking is, those of you that came to Chicago for Yasa Puja, you heard about Bhakta Joe. So he's from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and he came, he has a keen interest in meditation. So when I was visiting Atlanta, he came to Atlanta, you know, 3.5 hour drive. We just met on an airplane, and you know, 3.5 hour drive to, you know, attend the Georgia Tech program, and then some, you know, exchanges back and forth. And he's really he everything that's here, he gets it. He just doesn't know, you know, how do I learn more? He gets that, you know, the text message he sent was, you know, yuck. You know, the materialistic way of life, and you know, we had some pretty graphic terms to describe it, you know, the partying and the this thing and that thing, and with all of that, then depression and suicide and drug overdose and, you know, the madness. You know, no thanks. And, you know, I really want to learn. He was like, you know, even in the yoga circuit, you know, girls with tight pants, you know, I'm not interested in that. You know, and all the stuff that's the social thing that goes with that, you know, I'm not interested. I'm interested in the real thing. Anyway, so he's very focused. He's not going to get distracted. And because he didn't have any contact with devotees, he found something online, and the something online is gobbledygook. It's not going to take him to... So I'm going to forward this link to him. And a third thing I was thinking is, those of you that are doing college outreach, this is the catch the wave. I was in, for example, I was in, I'll go back to Bhakti Joe. Bhakti Joe formed the Bhakti Club, like, you know, within 5 days. He went to Georgia Tech, saw what was going on. He was instructed how to start a club. It's going. Or at least the paperwork is in place. It has to be go through some red tape. But it was, he needs five, he got 30 people. Within 3 days. And it was a weekend. So, you know, and he's focused. He's, you know, gonna be the president of the club, and he's focused on what he, you know, and why the other thing is something that this club is, at least I'm not interested in this other stuff. Now, other people are interested in the other stuff. They're not in the fast lane like he is. So he'll have to, like, slow down a little bit for the other people. Otherwise, he won't have members of his club. But, so the third thing is, about 4 weeks ago, I visited Singapore. And some of you know Prakash Govindan moved to Singapore. So guess what he's doing in Singapore besides his business? College program. So there's an existing program that the NUS or something, National University of Singapore, something like that. So we, you know, he arranged with permission of the local people, because there's an existing club. We did a shortened version of what these two programs. And the conclusion of it was real positive, so I suggested two things. And send out, you know, he immediately did it within 5 seconds. A little Google group thing for the people that are part of that club. Who would like to make a commitment to chant one round a day for the next 3 weeks and see what happens? 5 people signed up. Then, so I said, okay, what do you think of this, Prakash? There's some curriculum. He said, send it to me, let me look. I said, so these curriculums that were created, and, you know, he's doing the curriculum. And the curriculum that was created by you all that worked on the curriculum is the subject matter for Gita Nagari. We're doing this Patriots holiday, because at least here in Boston, nobody else besides New England has Patriots Day. New England Patriots, right? Patriots Day. I don't even know what it is, but it's a holiday for the students. Is it true that's the same day as the Boston Marathon?
Yes.
Yes? Patriots Day, yay. So, must be cold for Boston Marathon. Anyway. Aside from college students, there's people out there. And they're getting, you know, fraudulent presentations. When Bhakti Joe told me, here's the kind of meditation I'm doing, It's called da-da-da-da-da meditation. Have you heard of that before? So could you say it again? Da-da-da-da-da meditation. Could you say it again? I never heard of it before. So it's just an invention. I'll expand. 2 years ago, University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, on the topic of something, I forget what the topic was, that some meditation came up, and after the class, one student came forward and said, I really like meditation. It's showing me that there's this, I've been using the term place of higher consciousness, but I can't stay there. Is there some way that you can suggest that I can stay there? And right next to him was another person who said, there's something online, you get a little device, you pay some money, and you can stay there. And it only costs a da-da-da. Here's the link. You know, a little electronic gizmo. So you can stay there, the place of higher consciousness. It, you know, it's become commercialized and, you know, prostituted. It's really unfortunate. And just, you know, watch it go. And then the real thing, people go, garbage. But there's power, so those people will do something because they feel, you know, they feel something. But they won't get the, so we have an opportunity. And it can just slip away and let everybody else do it, and it becomes, the marketplace becomes cluttered with rubbish. It's going to happen anyways. And the real persons that want the real thing should have the opportunity to get the real thing. And persons that don't want the real thing, there's lots of opportunities for them. So it's important that we not just give something that we haven't received, but we receive and then give that something that we've received. It's important to not just, you know, the topic that I'm thinking to speak about tonight, and I'm going to end, is what I was asked to speak about at the Potomac Temple this coming Sunday. And that they have a theme. I'm going to send this recommendation to Vanamali Pandit. What they're doing in Boston, excuse me, what they're doing in Potomac is, I don't know the source, but it's called Gita Values. Braj Bihari is a big advocate of that. So my guess is that Burijan coined the term, I'm guessing. Maybe it's from one of our acharyas, I don't know. I'll find out. There's six items, and so the one that that's on the, in the chart for me is the acharya principle taught in Bhagavad Gita. So it's taught in Bhagavad Gita, but people that are, the Western audience don't know what that means, but they know that the walk your talk message, which is acharya. You teach by example. Acharan, don't just talk and then do something else. So we should also teach by example. You know, Bhakta Joe wants to do meditation for the reasons that he has, and he has discrimination. He's not going to take a cheating process. So we can give the right process, and, I was going to say but, and we should be able to deliver it with some effectiveness. That effectiveness is purity. Purity is the force. We have to apply the process. Have to apply the process. We have to know what the process is, apply the process, and then teach the process. Patan patan. Yajan yajan. Dan pratigraha. That's our training to become brahminically qualified teachers of the methods of Krishna consciousness. And we can be over here and be a this or that or the other occupation-wise. But the Vaishnava function is the, you study and you give. You receive knowledge and you give knowledge. And to give knowledge, you have to do, you have to walk your talk. Any discussion? Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, at MIT, I observed that there were many students who came with the expectation of doing hatha yoga. But after your presentation started and you, explained what you're going to cover, some of them left. So my question is, like, we are using yoga as a bridge, but when it comes to, so what to do with those kind of people who are?
You give them what they expect. You know, but the room, they were in chairs. There wasn't room for what they were expecting.
We generally move the chairs.
Okay, but even if you move the chairs, the number of people in that room, the space wasn't, you'd have to have people on, you know, have two decks or something. Or whatever, uncomfortably close to one another or something. Sardines. So, the other room is probably better, space-wise. And, you know, my experience at the programs at MIT is she does, then it's prasadam, and then I do. And then if they can leave if they want to leave. We do our bridge, right?
Yeah.
They do their yoga, and you know they take prasadam, and they off they go because they don't want the other stuff. But we don't. It's the big net. And then with the big net, you get people that want this, and they want prasadam. Everybody wants that. And then comes the people that want the next thing. So that's my recommendation.
The chain of sequence.
Yeah, you did that, did it, did it. And so the word goes out. What I understood from Advaita Chandra is, he was getting appreciation from administration. You're doing a nice service. The students would talk well of the club that would go then to the administration. They're doing a nice service. You know, she's the one that's delivering the service. She's teaching yoga. And she knows how to teach yoga, and she knows how to do yoga and teach yoga in a way that brings people along. That's what they're doing in Atlanta. He's got, you know, 75 students at Georgia Tech. And they're 90 to 95% Western people, or European, non-resident Indian, non-Indian people. There's some Indian people. They're welcome too. But, you know, the attraction, he wouldn't get that audience if he didn't do that. And then he takes them another step. Gently. And they like it. And it's, you know, the main, there's multiple, but one of the main attractions is the personal relationship that he has with the people that come. And he has a personal relationship with the people that are, they just want yoga too. It's because then they speak well, and they're the social networking goes out, this is nice. And then out of that, the big net, comes the people that want to go the next step. The people that don't want to go the next step, they can leave. But that's something that Prakash was good at. It moved from wherever it was to whatever it became because of his capacity. He's a busy man running a business. But he has skills. When I went to Singapore, I met three people that previously he knew from Boston, and now they're living in Singapore because they want to work with him. Mm-hmm. An American girl that married, and she and her husband packed up from Boston and went to Singapore to be with him. You know, that they like the business, it's clean, you know, mode of goodness kind of, but it's, you know, income, and he takes care of them, and the relationship is everything. So, it's not easy to do that. It takes time. You know, you've got a business, and you've got two lovely children, and it takes some time. You have to give time. You can't neglect your family. But and you know that gently, next step. So that's the response to your question. So it if you do as you did, which is to say, you know, the people that are on your mailing list. This Monday, we're going to go away from our normal pattern, which is da 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 da, and we're just going to focus on da da. So be aware. Not like, you know, if you don't want to comfort those things, just don't bother showing up because that's what's going to happen. Let them put two and two together. But this is what we're, this is the emphasis. Or you just add it on and then it makes a longer day. But that's okay. If people want both, and they'll stay for both. Some people were very comfortable. I don't know if, anyway. It's relationships. And there's technology that you can find out. I mean, what do you, how, get your feedback. And then you be responsive. You can't, everyone's feedback isn't going to be what happens the next time, but it's meaningful. It's not cosmetic. Like making the curriculum, the schedule for this Patriots weekend thing in Gitanagar. He went back and forth with a lot of people before it got refined. You were on the call, but it was a lot of stuff that happened before that. It takes time to do this nicely. Anything else? Yes?
I have three questions for Maharaj. Is it okay to ask?
Sure. That's, you called on you.
Okay. My first question is, Bhagavad Gita, what we have, is it like rephrased according to our understanding, or it's like directly what Krishna and Arjuna spoke that's being given for us?
The verses are direct. The purport is for us.
I mean the verses. So
the verses is direct.
Directly.
Direct. Hit Prabhupada. It's saying, expand on that answer. Different versions of Bhagavad Gita, even by impersonalists, the translations are essentially the same. There's some, but essentially the same. The difference is the purport. So the text, the translation is direct. Now, having said that, not editorial license, but understanding the Siddhanta, word meanings can be presented differently depending upon context. And, you know, the big picture of what's Krishna's message. So Prabhupada kept that in mind. And some scholars might quibble with the rendering, but you know, the big picture justifies it, and it's Vedic. It's grammar. It's a rule. Primary meanings and secondary meanings. It's a rule. So, what's the Siddhanta? So, he has that license. Next.
What are the practical ways to surpass envy?
What are the practical ways to?
Surpass envy.
Overcome envy. Surpass envy. Well, think of Krishna. Because envy of someone means envy of Krishna. You address your relationship with Krishna, because otherwise you're dealing with like adjusting the shadow instead of the object that's casting the shadow. You follow? So then you regard, if you feel envy, then where's that coming from? It's my regard for Krishna. I have to address that.
So is it like they have to find the root cause? Or?
That is the root cause. Raga dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata, Bhagavad Gita. We have envy towards others, or another, or others, because of our envy toward Krishna. That we need to fix that. So how do you fix that? Cultivate the mood of service, submission. And so why should I submit to, you know, I'm envious of him? Well, I don't feel envy of, I like Krishna. I'm just envious of that person. It's envy of Krishna. So we have to, you know, see that. And so we don't see that. We don't see that. I don't have envy of Krishna. It's there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have. So, if we fix that one, the envy towards others is gone. If we don't fix that one, the envy towards others will stay. The shadow will move according to the object that's casting the shadow. It's a shadow. It's a reflection of the origin, the root.
But when we do devotional service, I like to do that. But this quality still exists.
Okay. Stay focused. When you feel, say it again, when you feel envy toward, what's behind that? Somebody has something that I wish I had, and where'd they get it? That's something. Krishna. Well, Krishna should give it to me. It's only fair. So let's just say, you know, sibling rivalry. Not exactly envy. But, you know, one boy has this, and the other one sees the other, his brother, that has this, and I don't have this. Or he can dance better than me, or he can do his academic work better than me, or he can sing better than me, or he can play drum better than me, or whatever it is. I'm envious. Well, Krishna has endowed him with those things, so that's Krishna's prerogative. If I just recognize Krishna has prerogative, he can do what he wants with me and with everyone. And I trust him. Consider the message and see how it fits. It fits. It's just you may not see how it fits. The source, the root, is envy of Krishna. When you finish, you cut the root, there's no more envy. What's the limit?
Mm-hmm.
Forgetfulness of Krishna. You know, some persons are more tolerant, some persons are less tolerant.
Yeah, that's why I know, like, there are some degrees. Right?
Okay, so, you know, each of us have our capacity of tolerance.
So can I say, like, tolerance is limited by false ego?
Yeah, you can say that. Supposing someone doesn't have false ego, what's the limit? There's no limit. Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj, great personality, Ambarish Maharaj. No limit. What's the limit? No limit. And then somebody else. Daksha.
Yeah, practically when I read those pastimes or hear those pastimes, it's very inspiring. Practicality.
But you're so how to become more tolerant is another question. But you're, you know, is there a limit? And the answer is yes. when it crosses the, supposing, you know, supposing it's Krishna Janmashtami and I'm thinking I want to fast and do so much chanting. And supposing you're sick, you know, your capacity to tolerate the fasting escapes you, or your child wants to, and you know, because mom and dad are doing, but you know, they're getting cranky and you know, hitting one another or something. I don't know. So it could cross the line. What their tolerance capacity is. Something else.
Thinking that probably we need a rebranding of our college pitching programs.
You need a which?
Rebranding. I mean, we need to have a brand image for...
I don't know. I think you need to be flexible. Not necessarily brand. It's dynamic. Now, keeping it really simple, it's service. Service. And then, you know, it's a sutra that has many, you know, but it always comes back to service. So why do we want to do meditation? Well, I feel good. So something that can be fluid and flexible. Good character. Anyway.
Do you see a necessity of going through some kind of, or a little bit of professional training in how to actually engage them?
No harm. However, so here's a Prabhupada-ism. Lord Brahma, you've heard me say this, Lord Brahma has designed this body in such a way you practice it something, you become expert to that something. This was to an artist that wanted to, you know, I've never painted before, you want me to be, should I go to art school? No. No, some of them went to art school. Not everybody. Some of them. And they're like outstanding artists. But the ability comes from Krishna. So no harm. No harm. It's good. Say it positively. It's good. But it's not like somebody can't be a good presenter of Krishna consciousness unless... you attend. So you can take one devotee that does college outreach has studied others that have been very effective in connecting people to bhakti, and they've gathered, you know, different tools that connect people to bhakti. You know, one of the things, just like teacher training course part 1 and 2, one of the things that they do is workshops. It's not just, you know, lecture. It's engaging people in other ways. So this devotee has learned, what are some of the questions that are good, and having groups where people can then discuss, and it leads to bhakti. And it leads to strengthened relationships, so they can do service that's non-envious. So one of the things, you know, there are specific questions or topics for discussion that are taken from resources. He didn't do the teacher training course part 1. Or 2. Just, you know, intuitively understands. And where there's success, you just borrow from success. It's particularly in the devotee circuit, but outside also. And then, you know, go enroll in a course. And just one of the things that he does in these groups, from time to time, is... say something good about the other people in the group. And it's not allowed to say something negative about somebody in the group. It's just training them to, you know, respect. You know, there's the behavior and then, you know, there's the principle. help develop the character of respect for others, because they're doing seva. It could come. How do you serve where there's disrespect? You can't. So it's character development 101. But you know, it's not just saying, it's applying the thing that you're saying. And that's one of the roles of facilitators. It's not just giving teachings, it's taking and bringing it inside.
Maharaj in purport today was talking extensively about dictation.
About?
Dictation from the Lord. That's a fascinating subject. The idea that you've reached the point in your connection with Krishna that you are constantly receiving dictation from him, how to act in different situations. It's a fascinating subject.
Yeah.
And I wish I could rise to that level somehow and recognize the symptoms so that I'm not receiving deceptive dictation.
Well, that's... Oh, she's not here now. It's one of Atulia's favorite questions. And which is, you know, the dictation of the mind versus, you know, Krishna's dictation. It takes purity, otherwise we can't. And generally, you're taking dictation from the mind, not from Krishna. That's the default, you know, assumption. So we have to be careful. But at the same time, while we're being careful, we want to get to the goal. And therefore, it's always that the spiritual master, it's never that that the spiritual master is dismissed. And, you know, and Vaishnavas, Guru Sadhu Shastra. Always. Always. This theme, you know, dictation, is a foundational basis for the Say Yes to Krishna theme that we've entered into twice in Gita Nagari. You know, it's Paramatma, it's Chaitanya Guru. And how do you know you're saying yes to Krishna and instead of saying yes to your mind and being, you know, a whiner and complainer about what's out there instead of, you know, recognizing there's a disconnect between yourself and Krishna. That's the problem. It's not what's out there. Let's say it in reverse. Someone that's very connected with Krishna, they're not whining and complaining. They just, you know, they know what's what, and they're in the mood of service to Krishna, whatever is the what's what that's out there. They can discriminate, but they're not whining and complaining about it and fault finding and right. Okay, it's 8:30. Yes?
I was saying, oftentimes I'm receiving directions from people, and I'm wondering whether they are being directed by Krishna.
That's a good question to ask yourself. Then you hold it up to the light of Guru Sadhu Shastra. That's what you do. You don't have your radar screen that says, you know, let me hook this person up to their connected to Krishna meter, and are they connected? We don't have that capacity. Yes? And the big picture, the long period of time is also important. You know, the character and the consistency over a long period of time. Which is hard?
Homeschooling.
Homeschooling is hard?
Yeah.
What's hard about it?
So, like, my mother, she is getting confused if she should do, like, she's teaching.
She's getting confused?
Yes.
About?
About, like, what time she should do her classes. But I want to stay home and do homeschooling.
Okay.
And with my mother teaching me.
But?
Spiritual schools, like in Vrindavan, there are these Krishna conscious schools where there are devotees going. So
you wanted to do homeschooling and the other kind at the same time?
No, not at the same time, but either one of those. But there are none in Boston, but like there are some in other places. So which one should I do?
You don't really have a choice. And the reason you don't have a choice is family needs maintenance. And Dad's place of maintenance is here. So going somewhere is not an option. So it's only one of two. The homeschooling one. Now, there may be social needs. Not maybe. We all have social needs. And so, given, you know, the reality of the situation, that is, it's Boston and homeschooling, what are some ways, you may not know, but Mom and Dad can help you find some ways, that there can be association, that's how people that live together associate anyways. You know, they do through media. Now, the problem with media is it's easy to have it abuse your life. Real easy. But, so, that's a parenting consideration, or come together and do stuff together periodically, like we have Gita Nagari, and then, you know, kids get together, yay, good to see you, ooh, you know, and we do stuff together. And from time to time, there's that. And then there's the people that you feel closely connected with. Then, you know, adults and, you know, teenagers can help facilitate that by weekly things. Reading, discussing, thising and thatting. That's the way it works. It's meaningful. It's not every day necessarily, but it's meaningful association. Now, I'm not your parent, so I don't have to, you know, I don't have the service of interacting with you on a day-to-day basis and understanding you and your needs and how those needs can be met. So they may very well be considering different things besides what I just said, and that's fine. But, you know, at least from the vantage point that I have, you develop and, you know, according to your personality and your needs, structures that address your personality and your needs. This topic that I just, that last little part I just spoke about, that's one of the main elements that Bir Krishnamurti presented during the previous Memorial Day weekend retreat, and he's going to do part two because it's so important and so much appreciated. You need to know what your needs are. And you know, you're dependent, not independent. Sometimes you think you're independent, but you're not. And, you know, you work with your needs and with the resources that Krishna makes available to you. And that's an important part of inner contentment and personality development. So, you know, you're working on this at a young age. That's great. Great. And at the same time, say yes to Krishna. That's great too. That means it's not always going to go the way that I spin the dial and it comes out, here's my preference, and that's it, because it's my preference. It's not always like that. we say yes to Krishna. We can state our preference. We can state it to Krishna. And then we say yes to Krishna once Krishna makes whatever arrangements. And then there's relationships we have with people that understand us, and they're trying to facilitate our preferences, but within, you know, the boundaries that reality gives us. And we say yes to Krishna with that, because we trust in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.